Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. Appreciate that. Well, our passage, of course, Matthew 24, talking much about what is yet to come and what is yet to happen. We have been talking a lot about that and believing certainly that the Lord could come at any time. That's an exciting thing. And I'm talking about that in the Sunday school class. We're going through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, all the book of 1 Thessalonians, but we're on chapter 4 now and talking about the rapture, and that is actually the next event in prophecy to take place, the rapture of the church, when God calls us out with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's exciting to think about. And it is, as one of my points today in my Sunday school class, it is a positive truth. It is a positive thing. It is something to be excited about. It is a precious thing as well to be excited about as we think of all the things going on around us, all the things in the world. I preached a couple weeks ago about the Antichrist and how really everything is in place, it would seem, for an Antichrist, for someone to be have the kind of power that the Antichrist will have. We're watching all kinds of things happen in our day whereby that power is evident. And when I say power, I'm talking about people pretty much letting them do whatever they want to do. And we're seeing that in the United States of America, where lawmakers are pretty much doing whatever they want to do. And again, it is a problem. Certainly, as we think about laws going against us and what we believe and all of that, but it is also a precious, precious truth that the Lord Jesus is coming again. But another one of the signs of the Lord's return is found here in Proverbs 24, and there are several here, but I call your attention to verse 7. It says, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, earthquakes in divers places. Father, I pray you bless the preaching today. I pray that you will speak to our hearts, give us what we need from your word, and Lord, help us to pay very close attention to what you're doing in our world, and help us, Lord, to know that certainly our redemption draweth nigh. And we need to be busy. There's so much we need to do, God, to reach people for Christ. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today about all of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Of course, it was just last week, one of the biggest earthquakes that has hit, certainly in Haiti, in a long time, maybe the biggest ever in Haiti, claiming the lives of, already they've counted at least 50,000. They're saying it probably will go to 200,000 who will die in Haiti as a result of this earthquake. They say that there's 100% chance of an earthquake every day. When you think about hurricanes, you think about tornadoes, you think about blizzards, you think about other natural phenomena, we put a percentage on that and everything, but understand the earthquake, there's a 100% chance of an earthquake every day, anywhere, anytime, night or day, doesn't matter what the cold fronts are doing, doesn't matter what the rest of the weather is doing, earthquakes could happen any time, any place, and there's 100% chance. In other words, there will be earthquakes today. There will be earthquakes tomorrow. This time next week, there will be earthquakes. And the Bible says that in the last days, this will be one of the things that will be happening. It'll be very obvious. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. And sometimes we hear about these earthquakes. Sometimes they become national news. Sometimes they're worldwide news. And certainly this one, because it's so close to the United States, and we've heard much about it. And we've been, I think, most in shock at all that has gone on, all the damage that has taken place in Haiti. Sometimes we hear about them. 1989, San Francisco and Oakland, the World Series earthquake. How many of you remember that? Many do. That was certainly made a lot of news, and we watched as the interstate literally smashed down, levels of that interstate dropped, and you remember that People were trapped. People were crushed. People were trying to get off that bridge. We saw cars driving off the edge of the bridge and teetering right on the edge. And I mean, it was something we all paid attention to because, again, it made the news and we saw it. December 26th, of course, 2004, in Indonesia, there was an earthquake. That earthquake literally was underwater earthquake, but it caused the tsunami. And over 200,000, 230 to 250,000 people died. Of course, Thailand, the tsunami, we read about that. We saw that in the news. And that also was huge. 2005 in Pakistan, an earthquake claimed the lives of 75,000 people. 2008 in China, again, an earthquake claimed the lives of 70,000 people. And with earthquakes, many people die. I mean, depending where that earthquake takes place, and earthquakes are taking place right now. All over the world, and they're taking place, some in a remote area, like a desert area, some out in the middle of the ocean, and we don't necessarily hear about those, but boy, where there's a lot of people, as in Haiti, where there's a lot of people, and they're living in homes that are not constructed maybe as well as others, and buildings that are not constructed as well as others. Certainly, there will be many who will die as a result of those earthquakes. Now, you have to understand, this is one of the things that, again, an earthquake like a tornado, like a hurricane, like a volcano, like a blizzard, and those kind of things, that I believe, of course, God certainly allows these things to take place in our world. I don't know, you know, some people say, well, this is the judgment of God on different people and all of that. Certainly God has done that before. I think you need to always be careful when you say something is the judgment of God if you don't know that it is. Amen. By the way, that would be the same as somebody getting cancer. That'd be the same as somebody having a car wreck. Well, I know why they got that because their living's a... You don't know that. And I think we need to be careful. But the truth of the matter is, God obviously, because He's God, He controls these things. He controls tornadoes. He controls hurricanes. He obviously allows them to take place in our world. But an earthquake, honestly, how many of you ever been in an earthquake? All right, how many? Just raise your hand. Not many in Michigan because we don't have a lot of those. Some of you have, was it a big earthquake, Don? You had them in the Azores, all right. Who else had raised their hand? You've been in an earthquake before? All right, Nancy, is your hand up? Was that in California? Over, where were you in an earthquake? Okay, in Indiana. There is the little fault line down there by Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. And we felt earthquakes. Now, I have felt earthquakes before. I've never been in one where it was a lot of damage or anything. My wife and I were in California. And we were, I believe, getting ready to walk out of the motel, and all of a sudden, everything, it was so short, it just went like that. But I'll tell you what, it gets your attention. And by the way, you get out of whatever you're in. You know, with a tornado, what do? You go in the basement. With an earthquake, don't go in the basement. Do you understand? With an earthquake, there's hardly anywhere you can go. That's the devastating thing about an earthquake. That's the thing that, again, I've been in hurricanes before, and pretty much you just need to stay inside. And now if you're on the coastline, you need to stay inside somewhere else. But there is a way to escape. Earthquakes, though, first of all, there's no warning. Second of all, there's no, where do you go? I mean, if you are right there in the center, you say, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to stand. And then a big old crack forms and you fall in. That's never good. And it's just, it is, earthquakes are, there's something about those, of all the natural disasters, I think man would fear earthquakes more than anything. I think we would fear an earthquake more than any other kind of a natural disaster. And the Bible says here that these earthquakes are in diverse places. That means they're in many places. That means that, and the folks that study this and the people that are involved in they cannot predict an earthquake. They have some ideas of where they're going to be more often than other times, but sometimes they'll be surprised and there'll be a great earthquake take place in an area where they said, why, you know, how did this happen? And I'm just telling you this, you know, they talk about the plates lining up and shifting and all those kind of things. I'm telling you, God literally just, when God wants to, He can shake the earth anywhere He wants to shake it.
When God chooses to, God can shake the earth. God can literally, when you think about how big God is compared to how small man is, if the clouds are the dust of God's feet, as the Bible says, God just shakes the earth sometimes. And there's a reason for that. And in the Bible, they are very significant. Earthquakes are, you see them very many, several times in the Bible, and God uses them. And God uses them in our lives. Don't ever think that God got caught off guard by an earthquake, because God is the one who uses earthquakes. And I want to show you three ways that God uses earthquakes, and God has used them in the Bible. Number one is God uses them to get the attention of mankind. God uses them to get our attention. By the way, don't just ignore what's going on in our world right now. And certainly, if you have an organization where you can help the folks in Haiti, you ought to help them. Amen. I mean, you ought to do whatever you can do to help out those folks. And we've had all kinds of connections with Haiti. We have Biz Larice, a missionary in Haiti. He's fine. Everything's okay with his family. Dr. Frank Garlock, a man that I know personally and a man who's influenced music for years. He was in Haiti, but he's fine. The Groves are adopting a little girl out of Haiti, and KK is her name, and she was in an orphanage there, and she got out of the orphanage, but the orphanage was destroyed, but she's okay, and so again, this should reach our hearts more than anything, though. Like Brother Stewart said, I wonder how many of them were lost and died and went to hell because they never trusted Christ as Savior. And that is something that should, again, it should get our attention. An earthquake should get our attention. Just like our Twin Towers being destroyed, that got our attention. Oh, again, you say, oh, you mean we were more aware of terrorism. What I saw it do then when that took place is I saw America start looking up to God again. You know, earthquakes and natural disasters, Hurricane Katrina. How many people? Certainly, New Orleans, a very religious area down in there, and how many people all of a sudden said, "Hey, maybe we'd better start realizing there's a God in heaven." Earthquakes get the attention of mankind. Let me show you something. By the way, if you're ever in one, it'll get your attention real fast. I'm telling you, when buildings shake, that gets your attention. When the ground shakes, that gets your attention. It really does. And let me show you. Matthew 27, verse 50. A couple pages over. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus here is dying on the cross. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Look what it says. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. By the way, rocks rent. Rent means to tear. Literally, boulders were busted. That's a huge earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible says graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and so on and so forth. And you'll notice here, a fellow that was there, verse 54, when the centurion, a centurion is a commander over 100 men. He's a big shot. He's a soldier. He's seen a lot of things. Are you listening? I mean, he's seen war. He's seen death. He's seen a lot of things. But notice what he says. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, look what they said. Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. An earthquake can be used to get our attention. And an earthquake was used to get the attention of this man who had seen war, this man who had seen earthquakes, this man who had seen storms, this man who had seen death all around him. He sees a man die on a cross, but he sees the earthquake and the shaking and the way that it was. And it got his attention. And he says, this was the Son of God. You see, an earthquake was used at the cross to get people's attention. God is saying, my son is dying for you. My son is dying to pay for your sin. And it got their attention. Hey, does it get your attention today? Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. God uses them to get the attention of men. It was used at the cross. Then, chapter 28 and verse 2. Matthew 28, 2. Behold, let's start at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And here's another earthquake. And it's used at the resurrection. So we have an earthquake when Jesus is dying on the cross. And I believe God is saying, hey, attention mankind. My son is dying for your sins. And now at the resurrection, God is using an earthquake to let everybody know, hey, he's risen. Somebody said, well, the earthquake moved the stone. No, I think the stone moving caused the earthquake. Amen. And just read it. And, you know, and by the way, the stone didn't have to get moved for Jesus. He walked right through the stone when he rose from the grave. But again, God uses him to get our attention. Hey, does God have your attention today that Jesus died for your sin? Does God have your attention today that he rose again so that we could live eternally in heaven? Does he have your attention today? Sometimes it takes an earthquake to get our attention. And God used these earthquakes at the cross. He used an earthquake at the resurrection. Go to Acts chapter 16. Here's another time he used an earthquake. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And you know the story. Paul and Silas have gone into prison. They've gone into prison because they're preaching the gospel. They've gone to jail because they were doing right. They've gone to jail because they were told you can't preach the name of Jesus. As we've already pointed out, those days could be ahead for us right here in America, where people will go to jail for preaching what I'm preaching today. They're already saying you cannot pray in the name of Jesus in a public place. I was asked, a year and a half, two years ago, I was asked to pray for a council meeting, and so I went in, and the first thing I said was, now I'm praying in Jesus' name. I'm not doing it for a show. I'm not doing it to try to prove anything. I always pray in Jesus' name. They said, it's no problem. That's fine. But you know, the day is coming where they're going to say, you can't do that. The day is coming where if you do that, it is possible that people will go to jail. Paul and Silas went to jail. Hey, let's not be shocked, folks. Paul and Silas are in jail. The Bible says at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. But look what it says in verse 26, and I love this. It could mean that they sang kind of like some of our folks do, and they didn't hit all the notes. But I don't think that's really what it means. I think it means this. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. You know, God, maybe he just touched the prison with his finger. I don't know. He shook the earth right there. And the Bible says immediately all the doors were opened, everyone's bands were loosed, and God's people they're freed from the jail, from the prison. But that isn't the whole idea here. Because God wanted to get the attention of the keeper of the prison. God wanted him to know that, hey, God's men, by the way, they're praying, they're singing songs of praise, they're not griping, they're not cussing him out, they're not giving him a hard time, they're being a good testimony, they're praising the Lord. And God says, hey, attention! I need your attention! You know that jailer? I'll tell you what, it got his attention. It got his attention real, real well. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Got his attention, amen. Got his attention, and he got saved. And the Bible says he took them home and he washed their stripes that he had put there, his command. Oh, that's such a good thing. He used an earthquake at the cross. He used it at the resurrection. And he used it with the Philippian jailer to get his attention so that he could get saved. You know, I've seen God send earthquake-like things in people's lives to get their attention. So they get saved. I've told the story of George Luger, one of the A man in our little storefront church there in Burn, Indiana, and a man whose kids came to our buses, and they came to church faithfully. His kids got saved. They got baptized. They prayed for their daddy, but he would not get saved. And he would always say, well, one of these days, maybe it'll be bad enough and I'll get saved. And he thought that's what it took to get saved. And I'll never forget when we went to visit him after I heard that he had cancer. And his cancer was moving very, very rapidly through his body. And he didn't have a whole lot of time to live. But he kept saying, you know, one of these days. But praise God, God finally got his attention with his cancer 2 weeks before he died in the hospital. George Luger bowed his head and prayed one of the most precious prayers I've ever heard anybody pray for salvation and ask Jesus to save his soul and come into his heart. And he testified to this. He said, God had to get my attention. God had to get my attention. Literally, he's saying, it took an earthquake to shake me up. And I realized I needed to be saved. By the way, George Luger today is in heaven rejoicing because God got his attention. Now, you know, God may have to send something in your life if you're here and you're not saved. God may have to allow there to be sickness. God may have to allow an accident. Again, we're not the judges. We're not the ones to tell what that is. But my friend, if you're here today without Christ, wouldn't it be better for you to just come and trust Christ as your Savior than for God to have to send an earthquake to get your attention? Why not give your attention to Him today and be saved and be born again? God used an earthquake at the cross, at the resurrection. He used it with the Philippian jailer so that he could be saved. But notice the fourth thing, the way God used it to get the attention of man. 1 Kings chapter 19. And everybody, you know the story. Elijah's had a great, great victory, but somehow he gets discouraged. And 1 Kings 19 and verse 9. Elijah becomes discouraged. He finds out that Jezebel's going to kill him. Well, he knew that Jezebel didn't like him too well anyway. But oh, she's made her threat. And somehow Elijah, he's just like any man. Are you listening? He's just like you and I. And somehow discouragement comes into his life. And in 1 Kings 19 and verse 9, he came thither under a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Oh, I love it. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he's gotten discouraged. And he's felt like he's the only one that's around. You ever been like that? I'm the only one that loves you, God. You know, and you kind of feel like nobody cares. Everybody hates you. You're going to go eat worms, right? And that's where Elijah was. And verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And watch this. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And I'm just saying, God said, hey, I want to show you, Elijah, how powerful I am. I want to show you how strong I am, but I also want you to listen to my still, small voice. Isn't that good? He says, I'm going to send the wind and the earthquake and the fire, and I'm going to show you my power. But Elijah, I want to talk to you. I just want to get your attention so I can let you know that everything is all right. Listen to me. I am God. Does God ever have to get your attention and let you know He's God? Does He ever have to get our attention just to let us know, I'm God? You know, here we are, we're wringing our hands and we're saying, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know how we're going to make it. What are we going to do? Hey, God says, I'm God. I want you to know that I'm God. I can do anything. I can do it in your life. And sometimes He has to send an earthquake. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching and I look at these things. I remember when Katrina hit, and I was reminded of the power of God Almighty. I think about this earthquake, and again, they're happening all over the world right now. And I think how powerful God is, how big He is. And you know, all of a sudden my troubles and my problems become so small because He's so big. If God could send an earthquake to any place in the world that He chooses to, you know, can't He take care of my problem? I promise you this, He can take care of yours. God uses them. He has used them before. He will use them again to get man's attention, the attention of mankind. Number two, He uses them to alert mankind. Isaiah 29 and verse 1. Isaiah 29 and verse 1. Number one, I said God uses earthquakes to get the attention of mankind. Number two, He uses them to alert mankind. Isaiah 29:1, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about. I will lay siege against thee with a mount. I will raise forts against thee. Thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. Thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust. The multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be an instant. Suddenly, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with an earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And God alerts us of His coming judgment. There is an alert by God, and here God is warning Jerusalem. He's saying, there is going to be judgment. You are going to be in distress. He says distress, but not necessarily destroyed. But He said, I'm alerting you that destruction is inevitable. And God sometimes sends an earthquake to warn us, to alert mankind, to warn us that the worst is coming. Back in Matthew 24, we read this passage, and I wanted to go on through verse 8 just because of what it says in verse 8. It talks about the nation rising against nation. That's war. Kingdom against kingdom. The Bible says wars and rumors of wars in the last days, and famines, and pestilences, and those are all bad, and earthquakes in diverse places. But look what it says in verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And God uses earthquakes to alert mankind. Okay, you think this is bad, but something worse is coming. Something worse is yet to come. This is the beginning of sorrows. And God's trying to alert us. I think more and more earthquakes, more and more pestilence, more, you know, disease is everywhere. Come on, folks. We've got so much medicine out there, but there's always something new coming on. And there's always something old that we've not figured out yet. And there's so many things out there, pestilences and famine. I mean, come on, we're able to send people up into space, but we can't feed everybody here on this earth. And I'm telling you, more and more as this happens, God is saying, hey, alert, alert, judgment's coming. You understand the tribulation will be like no man's ever even been able to imagine. Books have been written about the tribulation, but they're not even close. They can't be close. I mean, they'll try to stick to Bible prophecy, but it's just words until it's reality. Now, come on. We watched Hurricane Katrina. We saw things we never thought were possible. We saw people up on a roof trying to get rescued. Never thought that could possibly happen. We watched the Twin Towers fall down and literally crush hundreds of people and thousands of people. We never thought that could happen. God's saying, alert! Alert! Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. The tribulation will be a time that we cannot fathom what it's like. And there's only one thing worse than the tribulation. You know what that is? It's eternity in hell. That's the worst thing. Everything you've seen, everything you've watched, we've seen bodies piled all over the place. All you have to do, watch any kind of documentary on World War II and the Holocaust of the Jews, and you'll see what you think might be just a little idea of hell. But it's not hell. There's nothing worse than hell. And the truth of the matter is, I was thinking this the other day, getting excited, thinking, nobody has to go to hell. I've thought about, first thing Dale and I talked about when we talked about Haiti was the idea of how many lost people, how many never got saved, and they're in a devil's hell today. And I got to thinking, nobody has to go to hell. Folks, honestly, think about that. No one has to go to hell. Nobody has to go there. Jesus died on a cross so that we wouldn't have to go there. I think God uses earthquakes, and He has. He used it in Isaiah. He used it in the time of Uzziah, and He said, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. There is worse judgment to come. There is a worse thing to come. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And I'm telling you, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you've never trusted Christ. You look at situations. You look at Hurricane Katrina. You look at the tsunami in Thailand. You look at the earthquake in Haiti. You look at any natural disaster on the face of this earth. And my friend, you cannot multiply it exponentially enough to get as bad as hell. Because hell never ends. Never ends. It's eternal fire and punishment. But nobody has to go there. You don't have to go there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, wouldn't you trust Christ? Wouldn't you want to be saved today? God is alerting us. The more earthquakes that take place, it's like the alarm going off. God is alerting us. Judgment is coming. It is coming. Maybe today, maybe next week, may not be for 1,000 years, but it's coming. It is inevitable. God's judgment is coming. People say, well, we're destroying the world. We're not going to have to. Are you listening? Judgment is coming. And that time is coming. Verse 42 of Matthew 24. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That is a powerful, powerful passage. If you knew somebody was going to break into your house, you would be prepared for them. If you knew somebody was going to come and they were going to steal all your precious items, you'd be prepared. Some of you now, you've got security systems in your house and alarms and whistles and bells and all kinds of things to keep somebody from breaking into your house. Oh, why don't we listen to the alert of God that judgment is coming soon? That's what He's saying here. Be ready. You just have to be ready. Are you ready today? Are you ready? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you ready today as a Christian? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you busy serving God? Is your family saved? Is your neighbor saved? Is your coworker? How about that person that you've been praying for? Are they saved? Do all you can, folks. Do all you can. You say, well, that my friend's not saved. If they're really your friend, you'll do all you can. Now, again, you can't make somebody get saved. And certainly, I would not, you know, when you look at something like an earthquake, I would certainly not say, well, those people deserved it, because you don't know that. You deserve it. I deserve it. The point you look at is, look how powerful God is. And for however bad that is, whatever you've seen, do you understand that God's judgment is much worse? Hell is much worse. You say, well, preacher, are you getting a little nervous about all this? You know, I'll be honest with you. It is a nervous kind of a thing when you see all this happening. And when you see the power of an earthquake, the power of that tsunami in 2004, when you see what all could happen and things, listen to me, earthquakes during the tribulation, we'll read a couple passages, that's just common. That's just a common thing. The people, the worst thing about the tribulation, we look at an earthquake as being so bad, the people actually are saying during the tribulation, fall on us, rocks! They're wanting to die. Because it's so bad. That's here on this earth. That's people all around us who are not saved, who are left behind. God uses them to alert mankind. I believe with all my heart, every earthquake is a warning. It's a warning that His judgment is coming. It's just like wars and rumors of wars. It's just like pestilence. It's just like all those things. It is a warning. Every time there's a headline about an earthquake, I always stop and I think, earthquakes in diverse places. That's what my Bible says. You're here today and you're not saved. Please get saved. You're here today as a Christian and you're lazy doing nothing. Hey, get busy. You're here today as a Christian and you're backslidden. Hey, get right with God. Because I'm telling you, God is alerting us. Something is going on. And God's judgment is coming. God uses them to get the attention of mankind. God uses them to alert mankind. And then number three, God uses them to afflict mankind. Now, God has done that. Now, again, you and I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's what's going on. Somebody said, well, Haiti's been cursed and they're into voodoo and witchcraft and all that. I don't know that that's what God did with this earthquake. He might be trying to get somebody else's attention. I have no idea. I just know this. Sometimes God does use them to afflict. It is part of the affliction. It is part of God's judgment. During the tribulation, that will take place. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verse 12. And again, as I mentioned, an earthquake is very, very common during the tribulation. Several times I'll mention here, Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. You talk about an earthquake? That's a huge earthquake. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And look what they said. They said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And boy, you know, during the tribulation, that's part of the tribulation. Earthquakes will be used to afflict mankind. In Revelation 11, verse 13, another occasion, and again, over and over, during the tribulation, earthquakes, it may be a daily thing. And very common, Revelation 11, 13, right after the two witnesses come and preach the word of God and people get saved, but the two witnesses are killed. And in Revelation 11, verse 13, same hour, let's look at verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, these are the two witnesses, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. It's like God saying, hey, you're gonna attack my men of God? I'll show you. Whew, powerful. By the way, God is a God of judgment. I love to preach on the love of God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I love to talk about the free gift of salvation that He offers, eternal life, and it is free to anyone who will take it. Amen? I love to talk about the eternal life that God gives and how wonderful that is, and to know that I'm loved by God. What a great thing it is. But we need to understand something. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of judgment. I'm reminded of the story in the Bible of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who had gone against the man of God and challenged the man of God and said, who do you think you are, man of God? And God said, I'm going to show them who my man of God is. And literally, God sent an earthquake, and it opened up the earth and swallowed them up. So the Bible says they went down to the pit. There was an Old Testament earthquake in the time of Uzziah because of sin. God said, I will punish you for your sin. Certainly an earthquake is a good picture of the judgment of God, because you can't escape. You can't escape. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they couldn't escape. The ground swallowed them up. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. And it's inevitable. It will happen. It will take place. God uses them to afflict mankind. And God has done that in the past, and I assume God, that's up to God. But you know, there are so many things that God uses to get our attention. There are so many things God uses to alert us. We have the Word of God. It seems like He wouldn't have to get our attention, doesn't it? It seems like we should just obey what He says. It seems like we have the Word of God. It seems like we should be on alert. Amen? That He's coming. We should be on alert that our neighbors are, if they're not saved, they're going to hell. We should be on alert that most of the world is on their way to a Christless hell for eternity. We should already be on alert. He gave us His Word. But sometimes He has to send an earthquake. And I trust we'll look at those things. It's no different than a hurricane, a tornado, a blizzard, any of these things. You know, liberals want us to think it's all because of global warming. I'm sure that certainly earthquakes are because of global warming. But the liberals are wrong on that, like they're wrong on a lot of things. God simply shakes the earth. And He has a reason every time for what He does. Just like He has a reason for a layoff. He has a reason for cancer. He has a reason for some other distress. He has a reason for a storm, a trial. Everything that happens, happens. God is watching it, and God knows what is best for us. God uses them to get the attention of man so that we'll look at God. He used it at the cross. Hey, my son is dying for you. He used it at the resurrection. Hey, my son is risen for you. He uses it, used it with a preacher that was discouraged. Hey, I'm still God. It's okay. Amen. God uses it to alert us so that we get right with God. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Today's the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Today. Now. Now is the accepted time. Christian, now is the time to get right with God. Alert! Huh? God uses these things to put us on alert. And sometimes He uses them to afflict mankind. During the tribulation, I think earthquakes are just going to be common. I think storms are going to be common. I think hurricanes are going to be common. I think blizzards are going to be common. I think this earth is going to feel the wrath of Almighty God. That's what tribulation is. And there will be no escape. It was something like that that caused me at the age of 17 to realize I do not want to be left behind. I want to go with the Christians. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't ever want to be a part of that. And even more than that, I don't ever want to be a part of hell. And that's when I called upon Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I trust that God will use these things to speak to your heart in the way that God chooses to speak to your heart. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one talking, no one looking around. Let me just ask you couple of questions. First of all, is there someone here who would be honest and say, "Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I have never asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and save me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not coming after you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Is there someone like that? You say, "Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved." Just slip up your hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. How many would be honest and say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I am saved. But God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand all over as a Christian? God speaking to your heart. And Father, I do pray that You'll bless the invitation. I pray that Your will be done in our hearts and our lives, that we'll make the decisions that You have told us to make. God, that we will take seriously all that goes on around us, knowing that, God, Your time to come is soon. Help us to be excited. Help us to have comfort from the words that You're returning. But also, Lord, help us to be aware there are folks all around us who are lost without Christ. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 308-308. I surrender all. God speak in your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. You come.
Oh, to Jesus.
Something you need to pray about today.
I surrender.
You come.
All
I surrender all.
To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, invitation still open. If you have a decision you need to make, do not hesitate, just come. Earthquakes in diverse places. Boy, it ought to get our attention. It ought to alert us. Instruments continue to play. There's a decision. Don't leave. Don't leave until you've made the decision God's told you to make.
Seated. Megan McLemore has come for baptism this morning. Let's turn to 196 in our hymnals. I will sing the wondrous story. We'll sing until pastors in the baptistry. 196.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but went astray. Through His loving arms around me,
you trusted Jesus as Savior? In obedience to our Lord's command and upon your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. All right, let's all stand. We have ensemble practice at 4:30, 5 o'clock, all the music, groups, choirs, prayer time for our men, prayer time for ladies, teens, all at 5, 6 o'clock, of course, our evening service. And I trust you'll be with us again tonight for that. And that'll be good. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please? Thank you.
Father, we do thank you for your power and for the fact that your desire is to bring us to you, and you'd use your power to get our attention. Lord, I'd pray that if there be one here yet that you're trying to get their attention, we wouldn't take an earthquake to do that. In our own lives, it would not take a tragedy or an earthquake to get us to look to you and to follow you. Father, as we go from this room this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and that we would be attentive to the still small voice that you use to speak and to guide. Guide us and direct us clearly, Father, and may we follow your direction. May we gather again this evening safely in your name, we pray.